Blog Talk Radio.
Check the bully block, check the pedigree. Shut it down. A better breed, it'll never be. Shut it down. We the top dogs, recognize. Shut it down. A good diet and exercise. Shut it down. Check the bully block, check the pedigree. Shut it down. A better breed, it'll never be. Shut it down. We the top dogs, recognize. Shut it down. A good diet and exercise. Shut it down. The game is for the taking. A lot of kennels slacking up. Feel you got a beast? Bring them out, stack them up. You see this monster, chin up and chest out. Huge head, cock diesel, now bring the rest out. I hit the boards and I asked who the best out. They said bring the South, Elite Edge and Midwest out. I'm with the bully block, man, they brought the press out. My dog's eating good as me, never stressed out. Media, rather frightened than enlightened, y'all. Van a misbrand, but the bully ain't a fighting dog. The temperament is cooler than the fan. While the lab dog's high strung, pulling at your hand. With the breed, I'm a owner and a fan. For that backyard mid-ish, go holla at your man. Check the pedigree, we don't do the run around. This the bully breed, round here we shut them down.
Check the bully block, check the pedigree. Shut it down. A better breed, it'll never be. Shut it down. We the top dogs, recognize. Shut it down. A good diet and exercise. Shut it down. Check the bully block, check the pedigree. Shut it down. A better breed, it'll never be. Shut it down. We the top dogs, recognize. Shut it down. A good diet and exercise. Shut it down.
What I like about the breed is selection. You can mix and match blood till you find perfection. Do some research, hit a show, find connections. Figure what type is what you like, make investments. For his features, I just found a pup with a short muzzle, block head, solid as a truck. I hit the vet, pick the ear style, cut it down. Let him heal, hit the first show, shut it down. I got credit, it was nothing to debate on. Wait until I work him out and put his weight on. Them dogs out when the stars around. In the show where they customize cars and sounds. A four-legged monster, freaked out collar spikes, posing with a credible celeb or the model type. It's undeniable when you see them come around. The bully breed, round here they shut it down.
Check the bully block, check the pedigree. Shut it down. A better breed, it'll never be. Shut it down. We the top dogs, recognize. Shut it down. A good diet and exercise. Shut it down. Check the bully block, check the pedigree. Shut it down. A better breed, it'll never be. Shut it down. We the top dogs, recognize. Shut it down. A good diet and exercise. Shut it down.
Every town, every state is a certified bully, looking great,
looking good.
In a show, stacked up, a pool of weight. 100 vans, 100 trucks full of crates. You got a little edge, then you shut it down. Got a little watchdog, then you shut it down. You rock with Nevada, you shut it down. You got a little Gotti, you shut it down. What about Remy Line? Yeah, they shut it down. What about Gray Line? Yeah, they shut it down. You got some Norwood, then you shut it down. Dax Blood, then you shut it down. How that chaos be? They shut it down. What about Monster G? They shut it down. If I forgot any names, run them down. Bully Pride Worldwide, we shut it down.
Check the bully block, check the pedigree.
Shut it down.
A better breed, it'll never be.
Shut it down.
We the top dogs, recognize.
Shut it down.
A good diet and exercise.
Shut it down.
Check the bully block, check the pedigree.
Shut it down.
A better breed, it'll never be.
Shut it down.
We the top dogs, recognize.
Shut it down.
A good diet and exercise.
Shut it down.
We shut it down.
Shut it down.
We shut it down.
Shut it down.
We shut it down.
Shut it down.
Bully Block Radio.
You know what it is.
I bully. Do you?
Yeah, you already know what it is. You are now tuned in to the number one radio station in the bully world today, Bully Block Radio, with your host Kev Green, Dayton Bodine, and Revved Up Danny.
You know. They told me keep it bully, but I've been bully. Shit, I bully.
I bully.
They told me keep it bully, but I've been bully. Shit, I bully.
Bully.
Bully Block Radio.
You're listening to the Bully Block.
Bully Block.
What up?
Live with your hosts, Lil Green, Dayton Bodine, and Danny G.
All right. You already know what it is, man. You are tuned in to the one, the only Bully Block Radio every Monday night. We're right here at you, 9 o'clock p.m. Central. We appreciate everybody who's calling in already, man. We got Danny. We got Dayton on the line. What's going on, gentlemen?
Not too much, man.
Yeah, not too much, big dog. Just chilling. What's going on with y'all?
Oh, man. Shit, man. Everything. What's going on with you, Danny, man? You had a little bit of problems going on tonight?
Man, I got into a car accident. I was just waiting my turn to turn at the stop sign. Boof, I get rear-ended by this SUV, man. It was crazy. Thank God everybody's okay, but, you know, it's a little bit whiplash, but, you know, we're good.
Right, right. How was the other driver insured?
Yeah, she was insured, you know. She was crying and everything, got scared. So I didn't even call the cops. I just took her information down, took a picture of her plates, and, you know, I just deal with it tomorrow.
Okay.
Snow's coming down hard over here.
Are you all right, man? Yeah, we're good to hear. How's the car?
Oh, man, my car is it's a Grand Marquis, similar to the Crown Victoria model, but it's the fully loaded edition. So that car, the bumper, literally is nothing wrong with it. It's cracked, but there's no dent or indented, or, you know. So luckily, I had a strong bumper.
Yeah, that's what's up. All right, shit, man. Well, thank everybody for tuning in, man. We got a couple more callers that popped in. Shit, what's going on with you, Dayton? What's new in Killing Noise Land?
Oh, man, shit, we got all types of shit going on over here, bro. We got some 5-week-old Ric Flair puppies on the ground, and within the past 24 hours here, I got 2 litters going at the same exact time, man. So it's been a pretty crazy, hectic day over here at Killing Noise, man. But, yeah, we got some white folks and Attica puppies that just touched down, and some Major Pain and Bianca puppies that just touched down, man. So, yeah, it's pretty. It's been a pretty crazy day over here for us as well, man.
How's it going from? I remember when we first started doing the show last year. You know, you hadn't had any litters in a while, and you kind of just been chilling for a little while. Like, how's it feel like now? Going from that, now you're all full swing again.
Oh, man, yeah, it feels good, man. It's been, you know, like I had said, you know, it's been quite a while since I had some litters, you know. We ain't ever been over here, like, you know, just, you know, breeding the shit out of our dogs and shit like that, man. We don't really get down like that. As of right now, it might look that way, but we got some catching up to do, man, so... Yeah, I mean, I do got quite a few breedings going on right now, man, and, you know, a lot of them, I got some, you know, a lot of my partners got some things going down, but, you know, we got some catching up to do over here, man. We kind of, you know, fell back for a little while, more concentrating on our setup and stuff like that, you know, and, you know, we got that everywhere we wanted to be, man, so now it's time to get some things moving with these dogs again and, you know, get these litters flowing in and stuff. So,
You got some new blood in this year. I said you got some new blood in this year, man, putting it to work, right?
Yeah, for sure. That's one thing, you know, more all these breedings that we do got going on right now. You know, I had a Major Pain in Booth litter, bro. I didn't even sell one. You know what I mean? I kept them all, you know what I mean? And, you know, we got these litters on the ground right now. You know, we will have some available, but for the most part, you know, we're trying to keep around some new stock and stuff like that. And, you know, as of right now, man, it's looking pretty good, you know. I had that Major Pain in a Boo litter over here, and, you know, that was the first litter I've had in a good while. And, you know, we only ended up getting 3 pups out of that litter, but we kept all 3 of them, and I placed out a couple females with some family members, and I got this boy over here off of Major Pain and Boo right now, man. He's I've kind of been hiding them, you know. That's kind of how I do it, man. I don't really promote my puppies and stuff like that. I like to hide them and bust out a full-grown, you know, beast on people, man. So as of right now, you know, it's looking future's looking real good for Zero over here. He's off of Major Pain and Boo, like I said, man. I've been in the market, you know, not necessarily the market, but within my own program, trying to get me a nice all-black stud. And, man, I finally got that boy, man. So, you know, we're going to wait it out and see how he turns out. But as of right now, it's looking real good, man. So, yeah, we're pretty excited over here, man. We all as a team, we all got some real nice stuff flowing. And, you know, Freddie's out there doing his thing, champing out his couple dogs, Pebbles and Bam Bam. And, you know, Jack's over there doing his thing. For sure, he's produced a couple champions. Just got a couple champions out there. And my boy Steve-O, he's been doing his thing, picking up some dogs. And, you know, got some puppies, you know, got them Ric Flair puppies on the ground right now. And like I said, you know, everything that I promote on here, it isn't always just for me. It's a lot from the kennel and a lot from my partners. And, you know, my partner Alex and shit, he's got quite a few things going on that right now itself. And, you know, we just been trying to get busy, man, get back at it. You know, like I said, you know, I got some dogs getting old over here, man. It's time to get ready for this new generation. So
that's what's up. So, Danny, man, you got some guests lined up for tonight. I think we have one called in, man. Why don't you tell us what we got going on and the topics going on tonight, man, so we can let the people know what's going on.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We're talking about confirmation. We're talking about selective breeding, and we're talking about ring performance. And tonight we have none other than the professional handler, professional breeder, and Dr. Love. We got Kino from Black Label Cartel calling in tonight. Kino, you there?
Yeah. What's going on?
We got Kino calling in tonight. You bullshitting. We got Kino calling in tonight.
He said Dr. Love.
What's going on? We got the one and only Kino from Black Label right here on the Bully Block. What's going on? shit, man. We here, man. What's going on with you?
Nothing, man. Just got done out there messing with the dogs. Just thought I'd call in.
I'm going to let everybody know, man, on the way back from Alabama, man, I stopped over there at the Black Label headquarters, man. I was on the way back from Texas. I stopped there on the Black Label headquarters, man. Got to check out the dogs, man. And, man, you guys better be lucky that Kino don't bring out his real stuff, man, on you guys, man. Kino got some real nice dogs over there, like, in the cut. He got Warren G over there, man. Warren G is one of my favorite American bullies. And the littlest known fact about Kino, I found out when I was there, was he lives next door to... Tell him who you live next door to, Kino.
The Duggars. The people that can stop having babies.
He lives next door to the Duggars, the kids with the people with the 19 kids that got their own TV show. He lives right next door to them.
For real?
They're professional breeders too.
human.
Natural.
They got a baby mill, a human mill going on over there. They don't got no puppy mill. They got a human mill.
Yeah, man, that's a baby meal. Yeah, they got a bunch of kids, man.
Let's get to what the subject at hand. Go ahead, and Danny, you can start us off.
All right. Well, basically, you know, we have a lot of people from different, you know, levels of breeding tuning into this show every Monday night, man. You know, a lot of people who are new to the community tune in, and, you know, I like to educate people. You know, I try to throw something in every episode almost, you know. But with that being said, I mean, for some people new to the bully world and even breeders who don't really show or breed for show quality dogs, the word conformation and its meaning is not, you know, relevant to them. So as a breeder, owner and professional handler, can you like give us your thoughts on confirmation and why it's important, and do you think that pet breeders should start focusing on it more for health purposes?
Well, I mean, it's as a show breeder myself, confirmation is everything. If without confirmation, there's no reason to breed. The problem is it's not so much the problem is breeding for confirmation. There's a lot of people want to breed a bully dog to a bully dog and want to produce bully dogs. It doesn't work that way. You got to match up your dogs. The hell with the pedigree. I mean, the pedigree matters, but you got to look at the dogs. You know, you can expect to fix your ear, never touch your stud, but it being off of a line of great rear. If you do not put your hands on that dog, you do not see that dog, and you go in and breed to that dog, you're doubling up on your fall. Your ears can get worse. So, you know, just, you know, don't worry about the pedigrees. Get into matching up your dogs. I mean, it's not that hard. You look at a dog, you like the feet, you like the back, you like the rear, you like whatever you like about a dog. Find them traits and try to find the stud that's the most complete. You know, without confirmation, why are you breeding? You know, a lot of these dogs are coming out and mixing, and I wouldn't say exotic, I don't want to piss anybody off, but these dogs are not lasting a long time. You know, a lot of these big, you know, big name dogs, average lifespan, what is it? Year and a half, 2 years old. I know I want to see a 5 year old exotic. If anybody can show me one, I'd love to see one. You know, great example is Rodrigo Silva's Thug, one of the most amazing dogs I've ever seen. Speaking of confirmation, this dog can get in and compete with today's best dogs. He did it last year and he did it this year. I mean, that dog will get in there, he'll perform. Confirmation. If you care about your dog, breed for confirmation. They're going to live longer, happier, and you can go out and enjoy the dog. You know, a lot of times people say, well, show. What about the dog, you know? What are you going to do after you finish with the dog showing?
Exactly.
You know, that dog's going to sit there and after it's done its job? No, if you've got for confirmation, you've got a healthy dog, this dog can still enjoy being a dog, go out there, exercise, run. You know, you just leave them in a crate or leave them in a kennel, don't do nothing with them all day, and they just show dogs. You get into the ring, these dogs ain't used to getting out there and doing that. You know, a lot of times it just takes practice, and practice with these dogs. What you think may be a high rear may just be a bad stack. What you think is easy-westy may just be where you've got your fronts too wide. You know, I would say, you know, keep breeding for confirmation. If you're not breeding for confirmation, please do not breed. You know, I mean, there's just no sense in it. Who's buying dogs that confirmation don't matter? You know, at this point, it's you want to help whoever wants the help. The people that don't listen, it really don't matter. You know, they're going to keep doing what they're doing. Eventually, they're going to get tired, and they're going to come back to a confirmation. You know, in the American Bully World, it goes through phases. You know, it went from colors of blues, the blacks, the tries, the funds. You know, went from big dogs, XLs, the standards, the pockets, the cream. Right now, everybody's saying, well, we're not breeding for confirmation. Bullshit. You know?
Yeah.
Excuse my language. I'm just saying. These exotics are not built on purpose. These exotics are the normal dogs are normal pet homes. If I have a dog that's going to be freaky like that, it goes to a pet home. I don't want it shown. I don't want people knowing I produced that dog. It's going to a pet home. You know,
right.
You don't take that dog and try to expect it to be an exotic show dog. What is one?
Well, I think even regardless if they're planning to have their dog shown, their production shown or not, even if it's pet quality, you should still aim for confirmation just for health purposes alone, you know, just like you said. But, you know, with that being said, you know, selective breeding plays an important role, especially if one is breeding for sound structure, you know, so and specific traits as well as show quality. So do you think pedigrees matter when it comes, you know, because a lot of people chase pedigrees. When it comes to selective breeding, you know, what should newcomers be looking for, like, when it comes to selective breeding, you know? Some don't even know that word, you know?
I mean, when it comes to that, I mean, just going to reputable producers, you know, find dogs that throw the traits that you're wanting to bring in. You know, don't go off of, like I said, don't go off of a big-name dog. And, you know, a lot of times when people call me and say, Keno, I want to bring my dog to one of your studs, you know, my very first question is, what are you trying to accomplish, you know? And based off of what they tell me, I say, look, this dog, Garfield will do this, or Warren G will do this, or Frank Lucas will do this. Now, if they want to go ahead and take that chance, you know, if I like the female, then we'll work something out. But most of the time, like I said, you got to find out what dogs are throwing what traits. So pedigrees, yes, they do matter. Bullypedia is to me is like the Bible. You can get in there and you can research any dog you want. You know, their dog, their grand size, the size, you know, the offspring, what bloods hit, what bloods didn't. You know, find the dog that you like, conformationally correct, exactly how you want it built. Break down the pedigree. You know, find out the breeder. You might even hit them up and find out. You know, when you did this breeding, what was you wanting to accomplish? You know, pick the brains of breeders. A lot of these guys like to talk about their program. You know, anybody ever hits me up, I don't mind talking. And so a lot of these folks, you know, Sean Mullins, Gomez, you know, Rachel Atlanta Kennels, they consistent look. So, Tim, look at their pedigrees. These guys are consistent. You know, you look in second generations, third generations, fourth generations. My partner, Casey, you know, he's got that look that he wanted. So pedigrees do matter. You know, if you're going to sit there and take the time to do the research and do a breeding correct, they do matter. But at the end of the day, you still got to put your hands on the dog. You know.
I agree. And the reason I brought up pedigrees is, you know, there's some people who chased four times or six times Dax and seven times Miyagi and whatnot, you know. When it comes to that type of stacking pedigrees, I want to call it, you know, I don't think that matters. I think, yes, pedigrees do matter, but when it comes to, you know, searching, for, like you said, for the traits and what the dog, stud dog throws, for example, you know, in my opinion, you know, that's how I feel it should be. I mean, it shouldn't be about, you know, overdoing it with,
That's all propaganda, man. It's, you know, six times this and five times this. Again, pedigrees don't matter. They matter on doing the research, but when it comes to your breeding, regardless what the pedigree looks like, if the dog does not match the pet, does not match what you're wanting to do with your breeding, then there's no sense in even talking. If you tell me you got a six time Zach puppy, you know, let me look at the puppy. Based off of six time Zach, I'm gonna say you're probably gonna have super straight rifles. I mean, it's common sense. Now, if it was bred correctly, and it was super nice, you know, line breeding that, look at the puppy. Let me look at the pup. Then I'll look at the pedigree. But, that's five times six. I mean, that's all propaganda. Unless you're working with your own blood. If you're working with your own blood, where, you know, I think it's a better way instead of, you know, I've seen people with nine-time Remy, 10-time Remy. Well, God damn, that's 20 generations back, you know. I try to keep it within the first four generations, you know. It's all about having confidence in your stud. If you have confidence in your stud that you're using, then there's no sense in marketing the 4, 5, 6 time. Why not market the stud you're using?
Right. Now let's say if one wants to do a, I've been seeing the word exclusive thrown around a lot lately. Now, I mean, to me, exclusive is, you know, keeping the blood in your own yard and not a lot, you know, not just whoring out your stud dog to just anybody who tries to breed to it. Now, you know, with that being said, you think it could be achieved using your own stock, keeping everything in-house, you know, a successful line breeding, you know, carefully selecting out of the litters that you decide to keep, for example?
So, you talking about, like, if I use my own studs within my own yard?
Well, anybody, not just you. I mean, let's say in my program, I have a stud, and I decide to, for example, breed his daughter or granddaughter back to him, you know?
Yeah.
And then and eventually keep it going down the line. What do you, you know, how successful can somebody be if they carefully select, you know, because the topic right now is selective breeding. Can somebody achieve that without going outside of his own yard eventually?
Yes. Very, very, very selective breeding. Again, I keep going back to this, but, you know, I keep thinking of two people. One is Aniko Ogin. You know, she did a lot of very, very nice, successful line breedings in KC Chavez, you know. You've got to know what you're doing with it. I mean, you can go out, you can breed, you know, father, daughter, two different dads, bring them back, do the same thing out of here. You know, key is to keep strengthening your dog to make sure you're completing the complete bully. So you don't want to breed a dog with a weak rear back to a dog with a weak rear. You want to take the best son to the best daughter, keep that one. Take another son, the best daughter, keep that one. And then put them all together where your final breeding is going to be everything you're wanting in the dog. Your dam should have everything you want. Your size should have everything you want. Not to mention, you know, you're 3-4 generations deep in your own stuff. But there does come a point where you got to go out. But I still think right now, I wouldn't, and I, for the majority of the bully waters, we wouldn't have to worry about line breeding. It's worrying about matching up the first breeding correctly.
Right.
You know, what baby steps, you know. If we could get everybody matching up their dogs a little bit better, we ain't got to worry about the line breeding for a while. It's right now, Matt, just the basics, man. Just the basics of matching up dogs.
Now, the final question for this topic, the selective breeding, you know, how important do you think it is in order to preserve the true American bully? I mean, there's a lot of people out crossing. There's a lot of people, you know, for example, I posted up a picture of a gentleman who clearly doesn't care and shows everybody that he's breeding his male to English bulldog female. And he's posting pictures of it and whatnot. But for us in the show community, you know, I think, you know, selective breeding as far as preserving the breed and bettering it towards the standard. Like, for example, how they removed the extreme, you know, I'm really happy about that because, you know, I like thick dogs, but short, you know, pocket size are standard. So I'm thinking extreme features on a pocket frame or a standard frame is, you know, my general interpretation of a bully. So, you know, what do you think about that, the new changes this year?
Well, to be honest with you, I think people are going to make a bigger deal of what it actually is. You know, example, you know, you're a show host yourself, right? Pretty successful one at that.
Oh, thank
how
you.
Many extreme, how many extremes actually show up to your show, bud?
I want to say three.
Three? Okay. And out of them three, how many of them were actually true extreme dogs?
True extreme? I wouldn't, you know. Maybe one.
If you have to think twice, if it's a standard or extreme, it's not an extreme.
Yeah, that's true.
You see what I'm saying? So it's not a problem. It really isn't. It's actually going to help us because, you know, a lot of dogs that we've been seeing have been lacking a lot of bone. you know, a lot of substance, and back to a lot of breed types. You take away the extreme, and you still be able to show them in standard, and everything else is going to get bullied. I think we'll be all right, man. That's not going to be a problem. Like I said, the only time I've seen a lot of extremes, if I went out to Texas, them boys got some extreme dogs. New Mexico, California, hell, down in Florida, they got some big old dogs. It's not as big a deal as everybody seems to make it out to be. I think it'll be a very smooth transition. You wouldn't even know that they were taken away.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
Sure. I got something to chime in on that. I've seen a lot of people, a lot of people have been, you know, always complained over the past few years about, anything's winning, you know, this and that, anything can champ out. And then now that they're making more stricter standard, now people are complaining about that. Like, it's like, you know, it's like you can't win. Like, I mean, they're trying now to, it looks like they're obviously trying to clean it up and do better. And then now, you know, now people ain't happy with that now. You know, so it's like, what?
You can't make everybody happy.
Right.
You know?
Another thing is, I wanted to ask about real quick is what you thought about, you know, I personally have noticed, you know, I've been, you know, before I threw shows, I emceed a lot of shows, you know, over the past few years, three years. And I'm sure you've noticed, too, you know, the dogs, the look of the dogs in the show ring from 2 years ago to the type of dogs that are in the show ring now. You know, and a lot of people, you know, I see a lot of, you know, people try to comment, you know, that the reindeer in the ring with this, that, and whatever. Do you think that is from, people just keeping on breeding, you know, like pockets and pockets together, and it's just keeping on getting watered down, you know, after the generation, like it's kind of losing the traits, like they need to start breeding back to some of them extreme dogs again?
No, it all comes down to the understanding of basic breeding, man. I mean, you'd be surprised, you know, as a breeder and having a couple of studs, how many people I actually talk to, where you go to ask, hey, why do you want to do this breeding? And 9 out of 10 people will say the same thing. I want a short back, big head, big bone, goofy, big rear, man. I want to champ this dog out. Well, hell, that's what everybody wants, you know? It's just simple, back in the basics, man, matching up dogs correctly. The biggest deal is being able to ask for help. A lot of breeders nowadays are wanting to help. Hell, Jamie Sweet don't breed American Bullies, but I promise you that woman knows a thing about some breeding, man. I mean,
right.
Until people decide that they want to learn and they dedicate themselves to learning about this breed, there's a lot more to learning about this dog than just breeding. There's a hell of a lot. And I think once everybody actually understands the dog, it's going to be a completely different thing. Because, you know, right now, people are breeding for money. But, hell, you can't sell what you can't show, and at least not in my head. I mean, Forget the big name dogs, you know. Forget everything. Go back to basics, man. Look, this dog is nice. This dog is nice. Like Al Rivera posted up earlier, he said, you know, don't find two or three things you like about a stud. Find two or three things wrong with the stud, or why wouldn't you use the stud? You know, breed for more complete dogs. Quit breeding for heads. Quit breeding for front ends. Quit breeding for bulldog looks. Let's start breeding towards a standard, toward a more complete dog, where competition is a lot stiffer. You know, like right now, you know, Kevin, throughout your shows, the champion classes are just unbelievable. 15, 18, 20 champions, 25 champions.
Right.
You know, now with everything coming back a little bit, I think it's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure, for sure. You still there, Danny? Okay. Danny stepped away. What do you think about all this, Dave?
About what?
Yeah, I couldn't agree. Couldn't agree more with him, man.
Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah,
go ahead, Dave.
Technical difficulties, but let me give you an experience. When I first started looking to American Bullies, I seen Miyagi. He was the first dog that popped out on me. So, you know, I want to be honest. I wasn't attending shows. I was lurking for at least a year before I started just going to shows. I wasn't even introducing myself to anybody. You know, I was just doing research, seeing how, you know, testing the water to see how the shows go. What is confirmation all about? What is the shows about? You know, and I know personally there's a lot of people still that are Facebook breeders that don't attend shows and just chase the hype, you know. And with that being said, a lot of what Kino just said, you know, totally makes all the sense, you know. It all comes down to putting your hands on the dog, man. And I can't stress the importance enough of attending shows. But now that we come to the show subject, Kino, I personally witnessed you meeting people for the first time at a show, and they asked you to handle their dog, and that's the first time you laid hands on the dog and started working with the dog, and the dog was bonding with you almost as if, you know, it was with you for a long period of time, you know. So now that we're at the show topic, you know, let's talk about ring performance a little bit. I mean, what can you tell our listeners, you know, especially the new ones who are, you know, starting the 2015 as their first year showing, you know, what can you tell the listeners as far as, you know, how to get their dogs to perform for them in the ring? What does it take, and how much of a role does the human actually play in it?
Yeah. First of all, it starts with the human. Once you decide that's what you want to do with that dog, you know, if you've got a dog that you decide, you know what, I'm going to show this dog, I'm going to champ this dog out. You dedicate yourself to that dog. You start training it as early as possible. I like to start playing with them around 4 weeks. You know, by the time they're 18 weeks, I've got them things stacking. By the time 11, 12 weeks, we're on the leash. You know, by the time they're 3 months, 4 months, we're in the ring. By the time they're 6 months, it's time to show. But it's all repetition, you know. You can't potty train a kid and just let him sit on the couch. You know, it's repetition and patience. You know, a lot of times, what I see a lot of new people go get adult dogs, which they're buying someone else's failure, go in the ring and expect to win because it's their first bully. And, you know, they're either in the wrong class or they've got the dog stacked up wrong. I can tell you excuse me, back to how big a portion is a human thing. I think it's 50-50. The right dog with the right handler can do a lot of things. You know, there's a lot of dogs that perform better for Anthony than they do for me. There's some dogs that perform better for me than they do for him, and vice versa. You know, I've traded a couple out with Julie or, you know, Crystal or Natalie, you know, just matching the handler to the dog, if you're going to use a handler, is crucial. You know, some dogs require a happy handler. Some require a little heavier hand handler. But the human does a lot because, there's probably 60% of the time that I'm in a ring, I have seen a lot nicer dogs than what I was showing, but they didn't present the dog correctly. So, again, it goes back to education. If we can all get together and, you know, hold seminars before shows instead of meet and greets and booze and beer, we can still do all that and everybody, you know, stack up sessions with the judges, stack up sessions with the handlers. Guys, that's fun. Take it back to having fun. Back in the parking lot, let's stack dogs. You know, you may learn something from me. I may learn something from you. And at the end of the day, you got to go back to having fun. As far as ring presence, it just goes back to confidence. You know, me and Anthony used to sit on the side of the sideline, and you know, we'd watch owners and their dogs and be like, man, that's a nice dog. And dog wouldn't work with him, wouldn't do nothing with him. Anthony would go up, can I see your dog? He'd have that thing moving, wagging his tail, head up high, reaching jump. Oh, can you show my dog? You know, Anthony, get in there and just kill it. You know, that's what we do. That's what we do with dogs. It's our confidence. You have to start with yourself. If you're nervous, don't go in the ring. You got to tell yourself you got the baddest dog at the end of your leash. You got to go in there like you own it. Now, Ron Ramos, long ago, I hit him up. I said, Ron, this is my first day in the ring tomorrow, man. What can you tell me? He says, Kino, go in like you got the best dog at the end of your leash, man. Walk in there like you own it. Ever since then, that's what I do. I punk myself on doing a good job in the ring. And that confidence level, once you go in there with confidence, the dog will do anything for you. Hell, I've seen Anthony make a dog roll over and then stack up the next second. He's sitting there like, yeah, he's having fun. You know, a lot of times, well, most of the time, the biggest problem I see is stacking a dog and having it stand still. People think that's showing a dog. It's not showing a dog. You've got to stack that dog properly because you are setting up a picture, a masterpiece for that judge to see. That judge can only see what you present. If you present the high rear, that's what he sees. If you present Eastie-Westie, that's what he sees. If you present, you know, straight stifles and you don't load your rear, that's what he sees. You can't get mad at the end of the day if you didn't present the dog to the fullest. You know, and don't start working with your dog 2 days before the show. You know, spend time with your dog every single day, 5 minutes a day. Stacking one day, gain the next day, up and back, stop, up and back, stop. Get your dog on point. Take this as a competition, you know. I mean, football players couldn't show up on a Sunday and play if they didn't practice. Hell, they could, but they wouldn't do it very long. And neither can we as show people. If we don't practice, there's no way in hell you can show up and show. There's no way. You got to work with your dogs. Let it be consistent. Let it be fun. Go back to competitive, you know, fun competition. Let's go back to having fun and stacking up and, you know, always, you know, shoot for improving.
I mean, that's what it's about right there. I mean, you know, there's a lot of misconception. There's a lot of people coming in for the hype, for the financial purposes, and thinking the only reason they should show and champ out their dog is it adds value to the dog and the puppy, for example. But then there's the people who are truly the sportsmen of it, like have the sportsmanship and enjoy the competition, enjoy the socializing, enjoy the showing, and, you know, the dogs itself. You know, there's two different things. One of a good friend of mine, Alchemy Gang, also known as Torian Garrett. You know, he wants to weigh in on something real quick. Let me just bring him on. Torian. Torian,
hey,
you there?
Hey, what's going on? What's going on, fellas?
What's going on?
Now, this the thing is, like, I've never been a true shower, which, you know, Big Kino has, I mean, toppled over some of the best showers I've seen back in the day up until now. But what I wanted to chime in on is, how can you call something extreme nowadays when the standard changes so much to where when I was starting to show, I was going up against standards in the classic class. And now, to you say, let's fast forward to the, you know, up until now, the new extremes are overdone dogs. And the old extremes are the new standards, and the old standards are the new classes. So what can you honestly, Big Kino, call an extreme?
Well, I think it's all misconception by everybody. I mean, right now, look at it this way. If you bring the extremes down to the standards, your normal standards ain't going to be able to keep up. So what are you going to do? You're going to breed for a cleaner extreme, more bone, more substance. You're going to want more head. if you want a bigger standard, it's going to help the breed. Everybody's going to breed for a little bit, you know, bully a dog.
Right. I get that, and, but like, take your boy, Frank Lucas, right?
You know, the extreme is not going away. I mean,
What's
the biggest class you've ever seen of extremes at any show at all?
Hold on, let me cut my TV down. Hold on. I'd probably say the biggest extreme class that I saw was probably in Nationals 2012 in Dallas. I think that's probably the first time I ever met you. That was about the biggest extreme class I saw because El Presidente was there, which I know he's a Excel, but they showed him an extreme class. Then I think go ahead, bro.
No, I'm glad you brought that show up. That was a big show. So
Let's
just use that show as an example. Out of all the dogs that were in that extreme class, how many of them did you have to wonder if they was extreme or not?
Honestly, none of them for real, because they was all badass, big bone, big head, like you said before. Yeah. They was complete packages.
Yeah.
Like you didn't, like you said, if you have to question it, then I agree with you on that. If you have to question it, then the dog's not extreme.
Yeah, but this is the deal. The problem with the extreme right now that I see is you don't see the turnout. If people are breeding for extreme but ain't breeding for the show, what are they breeding for?
Right.
If you're gonna breed for extreme, why not go get your show stock evaluated by a judge at the shows?
Right.
If you're not breeding to show, what are you breeding for?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, how many kennels have got? Okay, tell me five kennels that breed nothing but extremes.
It had to be Blue House Kennels. I know you got Frank. I haven't seen him yet in person, but from the cell phone pics that I've been seeing of him, that's one bad big ass dog.
That's just a standard American bully, brother.
That motherfucker's bad boy.
You see what I'm saying? It's all perception. That's why it's very important for people to go to shows and see these dogs. It's very important. Even if you're not going to show a dog, just go out there and check out the dogs. You get dogs from all over the state, man.
Because see, like Carmelo.
Carmelo, yeah.
Yeah, like Carmelo, he was a red-nosed brindle, I think. Like, he was pretty much one of the biggest extremes I saw in 2012 in Dallas.
When I think extreme, I think of, you know, Omen, Big Papa, what's his name, Mega Max or Maximin, whatever his name is, Ty's dog.
Yeah, Max.
When you see an extreme dog in person, I promise you to make you say, "Damn, who the hell is that?"
Yeah, Carmelo did that when I
say
seen
that. It's not an extreme dog.
Right. Okay. Like I'm trying to learn something for the simple fact that, you know, crossing over from, you know, where I come from in the ABBA world, the UKC, I'm just trying to learn something.
Well, and again, all I can say is just go to more shows, because you're basing your opinion on what you've seen in person and what you've seen in pictures, and a lot of the bully community does that. You know, it's you know, perception. You think, you know, Frank Lucas, great picture. Oh, my God, that dog's extreme. And there's nothing extreme about him. He's a standard dog. He's a standard American bully. But he may be bullier than most standards you've seen.
But isn't that the definition of a standard, is a more bullier dog? I mean, isn't that the definition of extreme, a more bullier dog?
When you think of extreme, you're going to have extreme bone, extreme substance, extreme head. Like I said, it's going to give an extreme dog, when you look at the dog, that should be the wild factor. Like, damn.
Right.
You know.
Because I've seen Blockbuster in person. In my eyes, I feel like he's extreme because he's a nice big dog, and he got that reaction from me. I was like, damn.
Again, he's a standard dog.
Go ahead.
Have you ever seen Grand Champion Omen in person?
Talking about Big Chris dog?
Omen?
I saw him. I saw him a long time.
Omen is
Sean
Mullins dog.
I saw him a long time ago. I think he was like one of the first Bullets I ever saw.
You remember him if you saw him. You know, Ty Lumley right now has got a dog that I don't know what the hell that thing is. It is like a damn rhino, you know, big old head, body, just like, damn. Those are extreme dogs. Those are, you know, when you get them, they're barely show dogs anyway, unless they're, you know, one of a million that are super nice out there. There's a lot of nice extremes out there. But as far as it being a problem and hurting the standards and this moving that, that's all he say, she say. Like I said,
right.
Standard is standard. Breed for the standard, everything else will be all right. If you get one that comes out, you know, a little bit less substance, a little bit less bone, show that sucker in classic. If it comes out short and nice, show it in pocket. You know, if it comes out nice and bully, 17, 18 inches, show it in standard. Because right now, none of that stuff matter because I like you. You know, you brought this up. Do you breed for extreme?
No, I don't. I breed for a functional standard.
Do you want extreme anytime in the near future?
And the breeding that I got going right now is to inbred Fedora Bud off of Goose. I'm just wanting a thicker standard because I've never really met a functional extreme that can really
That's perfect. So with that being said, does it matter if there's no more extreme?
Yeah. Like, I like to look at them. Like, I think they're beautiful animals to look at.
I do, too. But you like looking at them. But if you can't, let me ask you this. If you went to 20 shows to look at these dogs, they're beautiful animals. And out of them 20 shows, only two shows had extreme dogs. And out of them two shows, there was probably three or four. Would you keep following extreme dogs?
Yeah. It's a preference.
Okay. Well, it won't go for too long if you go to 20 shows and you're not seeing any extreme dogs.
But
you know,
I could bring that up as far as, like, I started out with XLs. My first dog I've ever showed, I started out with XL, and I watched a decline in them as of late, you know?
Yeah.
And
but again, extreme was just a standard with a little bit more extreme features, and it was allowed a little bit more thoughts. They clean it up a little bit, making it a standard. I think the standard classes will get a little bit beefier, and I think you're going to enjoy watching the standard class a little bit better. Just because your preference is standard with a little bit more bully features, which everybody's going to be going to that.
Yeah, I like, you know, Carmelo. He was a nice dog because I actually got to put my hands on him and actually, like you said, feel the body, feel the head. Like, he, to me, was a complete extreme, you know? He had it all. No bad angulation, you know? His stifles were straight. Like, he was, to me, if I was to breed to a standard, I want that type. I mean, not standard, but if I was to be the extreme, that's what I want. That's why I like standard, because they are more of a complete package than an extreme. I want the complete package to add on to the dog so I can make a better gene pool.
So do you think, would you not agree that with ABK doing what they did, they're pushing towards a more complete dog?
I can see that, yeah.
So with that being said, do you see what's going on here? It's better for the breed, right? Better for the registry?
Really, yeah, you're right.
Better for the future of your program?
Yeah, because it'll make better gene pools because, to me, in my opinion, and I'm going to state it like that because it's my opinion, that, you know, the gene pool needs to be cleaned up, you know? And not everything is going to be it's not going to be perfect, but it's got to start somewhere.
Yes, sir.
And to me, that, you know, coming from classic to now moving up to standard, to admiring extremes to where I want to see a correct extreme go to a correct standard to make a bullier standard, because I feel like you said, that's the only way a standard's going to get bigger and better features is to be taken to a fully put together extreme. Mm-hmm. Because if I take a dog, say, like, let's just say, and I know he's a pocket, but let's just say Soul Train. I saw him in person. Beautiful dog, but he's got a weak rear. I've seen a lot of his offsprings. They all got weak rears.
Is he a pocket?
Yeah, he's pocket, but I'm just using it for example. I don't want to take something that's lacking and add it to something that's good because it's a toss-up. And even if you add two good dogs together, there's no saying that the whole litter is going to come out straight. Because I've just seen that through my years of breeding in general.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like my question is not to veer off though. How can extreme really, is extreme really a preference or is it really just an on site thing?
You talking about extreme is a standard or extreme is a variety? I mean, are you asking me what extreme is?
Yeah, because it's just like I said, when I went up against and when I was in the standard class, I was going up against extremes. And I know for a fact this dog is an extreme, they're not a standard, you know?
Yeah, I doubt it. You know, these judges, man, they know their stuff. I promise you. If it was an extreme, they would have kicked them to extreme. If it was a standard, then they'd probably stayed in standard. Like I said, a lot of times we're not used to seeing them bully at dogs. You know, I think dogs change from different regions. You know, I see cleaner, showier dogs in the East Coast, and I see bullier dogs in the South.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the Midwest, you see more pockets. So you're probably not used to seeing the competition that you were seeing. So therefore, you thought there was extreme, but that was just a standard. So it could have been as simple as your dog being in the wrong class.
Yeah. Because like I said, I've shown in Texas, I've shown, because I'm from the East Coast, I've shown on the East Coast, I've shown in Texas. Yeah, I was in Ardmore with you when you had Chops out.
Well,
I've
who?
Been to Chops.
Okay.
I think it was, yeah, and I've been to different regions, and it's just like I see where you, like you said, just different regions and different types, just like people are different from different places, but shouldn't the standard still be set in stone?
That's exactly right. You asked me what extreme was. It was a variety. It was a variety within the standard, within the registries. It was a variety. Preference, no. There was a standard to the extreme variety. So it wasn't a preference. There was still a standard to it.
Okay. So you know, my last question, because I've always wanted to pick your brain, because I can't never catch you at no show. Can't never do it, bro. You like a damn, I can't, bro, can't nobody catch you and Anthony at no damn show. Bro, you got to get a line, take a number, get a parchment from God, be like, hey, I want to talk to Keno. hey, I want to holler at Keno. Hey, what Keno going? Damn, he got somebody else. Hey, Keno, I ain't even trying to get you to show me. Fuck it. There's sometimes I'd be like, man, fuck it. Hey. Last time I tried to get hold of you, bro, not to get off subject, I had to send a message to your homeboy that do the shirts. Then Julie hollered at him. Then Gina Moore, she had to come find you. I was like, man, fuck it. I'll find him on the board somewhere. I ask him on the board.
What's on your mind, bro?
Yeah, you know, but like I said, I've always wanted to pick your brain because, you know, you have really set forth to what a handler is supposed to be, and like it or not, hate it or love it, you know, Black Label been putting it down, you know what I'm saying? And
I appreciate it.
You know, and I used to be like, damn, who is them Black Label niggas, man? Like, they be everywhere. Like, I was looking around and like, but now I get to pick your brain. Now you kind of got me wanting to seek more of a extreme dog because, you know, I've been trying to go towards more of a corrupt line, you know, because I know corrupt was he's the father of extreme, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm wanting to go, you know, towards, like, I don't know how you say it. I've talked to Miss Candy. I don't know how you say his name, Fedor or Fedor. He's pretty much to me a badass dog. That's a fucking badass extreme. That him and his father, to me, that's what I consider extreme. The one and only time I seen corrupt, I had to sit down and ask Mr. Hector, like, what is that? Is that a bulldog or do you have a rhino on a leash? Like, what is that? you know, and that's what I want, because those two dogs are complete, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If I go to extreme, I want those big ham hock legs. I want that massive body and rib cage. I want that widespread chest and hook. I want those big jaws and that wide stop, you know.
You can put all that on a standard, bud, just the way you want it. I've seen some very amazing standard dogs out there. I mean, again, I can't stress how important it is for people to go to shows.
Yeah.
I mean,
2015, I'm gonna be. We got some shit lined up. You know, the game.
You know,
follow
Kevin Green. Follow Danny and Ruben. These guys. They throw shows all over the country. Find them a barn. They'll throw a show, I promise you.
That's what he said. Find them a barn. Well, yeah, you know, you got me going to do some more studying, because I was always taught you got to be a student of the game before you be anything else, you know?
Yeah.
And like I said, you know, that's going to make me revamp a few things, because I don't – it's like, to me, it's like pulling out a car. You know, you got a Lamborghini. I'm not fishing to pull out my 350 thinking I'm gonna beat the doors off you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know,
but you could slash my tires or hit my gas line. You'll be all right.
Hell no. Hey, like Danny said, the competition got to come back. You feel me? Like, if I was to ever go up against you, I'm fishing to look my dog over. We fishing to get ready like Mayweather and fucking Pacquiao. Like, we got to get right, you know? I've never been the one to – I've always been a congratulator, never been a hater. You know what I mean? And I've always, you know, throughout the bully world, you know, I'm hated somewhat, you know, for speaking my mind. You know what I mean? And – that's just how I was taught. I'm from the dirty South. You speak your mind. And when you go up against somebody you know is pretty much a juggernaut at what they doing, you're not going to overthrow a juggernaut by throwing pebbles at him, you know? You got to go get a goddamn cannon. You feel me? And, you know, like Ric Flair say, I love you to death, Keno, because you're my brother, but to be the man, what you got to do? You got to be the man.
Yeah, yeah.
Hell yeah,
you got to get better, bro.
I love you to death, but shit, competition in my blood, baby. You feel me? And
yeah.
I got to get in the ring with you one day. You feel me? I got to.
Yeah. Oh, man, I've had my ass whooped by the junior handlers in the Midwest, bro. Those little kids are some monsters down there. Man.
Hey.
They're little youngsters, 12, 13 years old. Man, they outshow most grown adults just because they want it more. So
yeah,
if you want to get up and you want to compete, you got to want it more than the next man, buddy.
Oh, hell yeah. As we speak, bro, I got a milk bone in my hand. Got her stacking up right now. You know what I mean? Like, that's something we do. Like, we do free stacking. You know what I mean? Like, I can tell her stack up, you know, and she stands there and stacks up on her own. But what I'm trying to do right now, you know, I'm trying to get her breeding lined up, because I downsized once I left Texas. She's the only thing I have right now. But I ain't gonna hog up Danny's show. I had to pick your brain for a minute, cause like I said, I catch Jesus before I catch your ass, bro.
Send me a text sometime.
Well, add me up, bro. You know, fuck with me, man. You know, I'm like I said, that's what Alchemy Gang stand for, bro. We not no crew. We not no registry, bro. We just want to show love and put everybody together that's just really down for these dials and not for the propaganda and the limelight.
I heard that.
But Danny, appreciate the time. Kev, appreciate the message. Let me get on. One love, everybody. And I'm going to go back to the listening to the show, man.
All right. Thanks for calling
in. All right,
boss.
Thank you for calling in.
You're listening to the Bully Block. Bully Block.
What up?
Live with your hosts, Supreme, Dayton Bodine, and Danny G.
All right. Anybody tuning in? Anybody got any comments? Want to get in on the conversation? Got any, you know, got any say-so on the situation? 619-639-4636. Press 1. If you're in queue now, just press 1. That'll light your phone number up and let us know you want to get in and got something to say. Shit, man. What's going on? What's going on, Danny? What's next?
Well, I just want to thank Keno, man, for taking his time to talk to us and, you know, help educate the community listening in. We do have a lot of
callers. We're keeping Keno. We got Keno for the next hour, man. We got Keno for the next hour. What's next on the we're not getting rid of Keno, man.
He already had, like, 3 Red Bulls just talking to us.
What's going on with you, Dayton? You all right?
Yeah, I'm good. Shit, man, I'm just letting everybody do the thing, man.
How you feeling about this, man? I know you've been around since there was one standard for the American Bully, man. What you think about everything that's going on and everything they've been talking about?
Yeah, man, I mean, you know, I kind of like myself in between an extreme and a standard dog, you know. And, you know, the reason why I think that you don't see a lot of extremes out of these shows, because back, you know, back 5, 6, 7 years ago, man, that's all they had at these shows was extreme dogs, you know what I mean? And, you know, I just think, you know, the reason why you don't see that so much any days, because, you know, nowadays is because the dogs are getting smaller and smaller, like I've always said, man, you know what I mean? You got to, you know, that's what I shoot for. I shoot for, like, a, you know, in between an extreme and standard dog, you know what I mean? And, you know, I think, you know, the reason why you don't see a lot of that out there nowadays is because, you know, people are, you know, too worried about creating a pocket, you know what I mean? And you're losing substance, you're losing head, you're losing, you know, you're losing a lot of things. And that's why you don't see so many extreme dogs at these shows, man. I mean, back in the day, man, that's what everybody wanted was an extreme dog. And, you know, there was a lot of them that were functional, you know, but nowadays the extreme dog is, you know, you're getting extreme dogs in pock sizes, you know what I mean? And, you know, that's why they're not functional dogs, and that's why, you know, you're having the issues you are with them and stuff, man. But yeah, I mean, you know, for the most part, everything Keno says right on point, man. You know what I mean? And, you know, that's just my opinion, you know. I've seen dogs, you know, I've seen these dogs go from being beasts to puppies, man. You know what I mean? And, you know, that's I think that's where, you know, the extreme kind of fell out of the breed more than anything, you know.
Right. That's what's up. Hey, Danny, you want to take this next caller?
I actually stepped away for a second, but go ahead.
Okay. See, we got another, I'm getting the screen back up on my computer. We got another caller calling in right here. We got caller 815-632. You are live on the Bully Block.
What's going on, Kev? It's Big John, bro.
We got Big John on the line. What's going on, Big John?
Shit. I put a post out there, man, a while back, and I was curious, and, you know, I never got too much feedback on it. I mean, you all know who Hooch is and shit, man, and got his daughter Princess, bro. Now, with the ABKC shows, you know, like I said, I took a step away, want to come back in the show and shit. Right now, this female stands at 13 inches tall, bro, at 10 months. I mean, what is that, you know, with everything that, I've heard so much shit, you know what I'm saying, with the standards changing, this, that, and the other, they're not allowing this, they're not allowing that. I mean, what's the say-so on a female like that right now?
Yeah, that's what, I want to say something about that. Your bitch you're talking about, bro, that dog is an extreme dog, and that's a dog with some, you know, that can move. It's not one of these crippled dogs, you know what I mean? And that's going
right
to suck for people like you, bro. You know what I mean? Like, that's just my opinion on it, you know what I mean? But, you know, with that female you got, you know, them dogs are some extreme dogs, and those are some impressive dogs, man. I want to let that be known real quick. And you know.
Right. I appreciate it. But, I mean, that's my thing. I'm trying to figure out where I stand in it. You know what I'm saying? Like, Hooch, I mean, you're, for the ones that seen Hooch in person, bro, I mean, they're not internet stats, man. He's 14 inches tall, bro. He's pushing 80 pounds now. I mean, these ain't internet stats. Anybody that's seen my dog in person, know my dog. I mean, his daughter ain't too far from his daughter ain't too far from behind him. You know what I'm saying? She's 13 inches, bro. Just took her to the vet, got her, you know, registered, shots, everything, man. She's 56 pounds right now, bro, at 10 months.
The minimum is 13 inches for the female in pocket bully.
That's okay.
16.
Now, what about being too extreme? I mean, you know, is there too overdone or?
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. You know what I mean? That's what I was getting at. You know.
The standard changed so that it's pretty much like the standard, but more bone and mass, you know, more mass to it, you know. So like it just figures if she's extreme and she's still, you know, fits the standard, then, you know, then she should be all right. Correct? Am I right, Kino?
You said that dog is 13 inches?
Yeah, she stands at 13 inches right now at 10 months.
Well, I mean, a lot of times they're just some dogs that just, you know, they're in between classes. You know, that's a pocket. Even by height, you don't qualify for the extreme class. So, you know, she may be a badass dog, but, you know, back to not every dog is a show dog, you know.
Right.
I would show her in the pocket and kill it there. Right now, they're pushing breed type. A bitch that big, and if she can move like you say she do, or I'd go in there and whoop people's ass in the pocket class.
Right, right. Sure. Well, see, her father, man, her father's got a flaw. You know, that's the reason I don't put him in no shows. So, I mean, he does have a flaw in his left paw and shit. I mean, everybody knows that. So I don't show him no ABKC shows. I'll throw him in a fun show just to bullshit around, let people see my dog.
Yeah.
But his daughter, man, come out clean. I mean, she's got straight front, wide chest, big neck, big head, nice muzzle. I mean, clean bite, clean tail. I mean, the bitch is, she came out like her daddy, man, but clean.
What's the flaw?
He's got a knuckle in his left paw.
Got you. Okay.
So, but she's straight. Go ahead, Kino.
I think she's a little bit overdone for a pocket class myself. You know what I mean? I'm just giving my honest opinion. You know what I mean? And that's, you know what I mean? That's where I say, you know, it's going to suck for John because, you know, she would be a real nice extreme dog. You know what I mean? So.
If I can weigh in just for a second, based on my interview with Dave, and we had him, you know, I asked him this question both off air and on air. Extremes, from what I know, can still show. It's just that the height requirement will determine the class that they will show in. Now, if they, for example, if your dog is extreme but pretty much overall correct, and pocket height, you know, she could potentially still win if she meets the standard more than, you know, any other dog in the ring. That was my interpretation.
Yes.
Yeah, in his case, I mean, his female is kind of overly done in the front. You know what I mean? I mean, not, you know, she's a badass dog, but she's overdone in the front. You know what I mean? And with the pocket class, it allowed for, or with the extreme class, it allowed for that, you know what I mean? So, you know,
right.
It would definitely be
straight,
a lot harder
but
for
if she's
his
straight.
Dog.
But if she's
what's
straight
that?
And everything straight, I said if she's straight, all her legs are straight and everything, right?
Yeah, she's got straight
front. She's got nice straight legs, but she's overly done in the front. She's got a big barrel chest, and you know what I mean? She's a bad bitch, man. I mean, to get a dog that bully, she's as clean as you're ever going to get a dog that bully. You know what I mean? And,
I'm not taking nothing away from John.
I'm just giving my honest opinion on it. You know what I mean? But I would take that girl in a heartbeat.
Right.
What I might do, John, is come up to the show in February in Peoria. I know that's kind of close by you. And, you know, just ask the judges. You know, you don't have to put the dog right in the shows. You know, just there'll be three different judges there. Rolando will be there. Rachel will be there. And I don't know who the third judge is. But, you know, they'll look over your dog and tell you what they think. You know, they'll be honest with you about what they think, you know.
Right. I planned on coming out to the show in Peoria, man, you know, regardless whether I show them or not. I still plan on calling and, you know, show support, show love and everything. I mean, regardless, bro, I've never been the type of person that if my dogs can't show, I ain't going to show, you know, that registry love.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just,
yeah, for sure.
You know what I'm saying? It's just, the dogs that I have, obviously, you know, if they don't stand underneath that class, hey, man, you know, they don't fall underneath of it. I mean, I'm still going to show love and support and still come out and shit. I ain't seen everybody, man, in shit 2 years, bro. So I got to come out and show love, man.
Yeah, right, and right. You know, and what I was saying, John, I was, you know, I want everybody to know I wasn't taken away from your dog. Them two dogs are in a whole nother class, bro. They're in a class of their own, bro. And
right,
that's
right.
Why
no,
you're
in that
situation, you know what I mean? But
right.
But yeah, you know, like Kino said, every dog's not, you know, show worthy, you know what I mean? But that's definitely a dog that produced some very nice show dogs for sure.
Right, you know, I've had
one
of my buddies,
you know,
straight up tell me, man, there's two stocks, bro. There's breeding stock and there's brood stock. He was like, man, you know, no disrespect, but you got brood stock. I mean, I didn't take it as no disrespect. You know, dude was being honest.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. I was just letting you know, that's a badass
mm-hmm.
bitch, man. And, you know, you breed that girl the right way, you're going to produce a whole litter full of showstoppers. So,
right.
I mean?
I appreciate it. But yeah, I just wanted to call in, man, you know, get some feedback on it and everything. And I'll see y'all down in Peoria the 28th.
For sure.
That's what's up, Big John. Man, I appreciate you calling in, man.
No problem, man. You take care, bro. God bless.
All right. Yep, God bless.
Good night.
All right. That was Big John from Big John's Bully House, owner of the legendary Hooch. And now he's got the second string coming in strong. You'll be looking out for him in Peoria. We got the next caller calling in, area code 661-748. You're live on the Bully Block.
Hey, I want to say, Danny, I'm a big fan.
Thank you. Who's this?
My name is Antona. I'm calling out of California.
Thank you for calling in.
I have a question. I'm really new to this whole, you know, showing dogs and in competition form. I just got a dog from the Humane Society, which sounds weird, but hear me out. This dog looks really good. It is it's a smaller dog. It's a wiener dog mix. But this is like so I saw this dog, and for some reason, I just had to have this dog. It looks like a black lab, but it's like a wiener dog black lab. Now, my question to you is am I going to be the laughing stock for taking a dog out of a humane society and putting it in a competition?
Not necessarily. But, where are you planning to show, what competition are you planning to show this dog in?
Like a dog competition. Like a small dog competition. Like I'm new to this, so what do you recommend I put it in?
Well, first of all, there's so many different registries that recognize mixed dogs such as that one, but the, you know, getting a dog from a humane society shouldn't be a big deal. I recommend doing some more research onto what registry recognizes your specific breed and going from there.
Like, how important are the looks, though? Because this is a good-looking dog. Otherwise, like, I wouldn't have just picked this dog up. Like, I normally don't just spontaneously buy dogs. But, what is a perfect dog? Like, what does a perfect wiener dog look like?
I don't know too much about that breed. But, this specific show is for American Bullies and the Bully Breeds. You know, so I haven't really looked into those dogs. And, I can't really answer that question, but...
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I wasn't even paying attention. I saw the name of the show, but I didn't think you only did just like that. My bad.
That's okay. But anyway, thanks for calling in. Well, we do appreciate it.
Can I ask your opinion though on this? The dog's a good-looking dog. It's not really missing that much. I got it from the Humane Society. Their family actually perished in a fire, and that's why the dog was there. Otherwise, this good-looking dog wouldn't be there if the family didn't die. But the dog looks good. It's only missing half of its front leg and one eyeball. I want to enter it in the short leg competition because normally wiener dogs, people think short.
Man, that shit is some bullshit.
Yeah,
that shit
get the fuck out of here.
Point converter is. Get the fuck out of here, man. Well, I'm like, what the fuck? Oh, excuse my friend. I think what kind of shit is that, man, with that weekend shit?
Hey, you gotta love the fans, man. You gotta love the fans. You know, they did say they're my biggest fan. But I hope it's not like Stan on the Eminem video, though. You know what I'm saying? No suicides.
What'd you think about that, Kino? That wasn't your people, was it? That wasn't your people fucking around, was it, Kino?
That shit was fucking. Yeah.
Oh, I had to put it on mute, man.
Oh, man.
Oh, you had to play a wiener dog.
And there you have it, folks. That's my number one fan.
I should have wrote that number down. Wrote that number down. All right, what's
it?
Took a lot of time. Somebody took a lot of time and effort into that one right there. They would have got the voice converter. Thought about it this whole time, man. Big shout out to them, man, for being so creative, man, on the Bully Block.
Wow.
So shit, man, we got about another little while left, man. Why don't you let us know, let everybody know a little history about Kino, man. I know they see Kino all over Facebook, seen Kino champing out a million dogs every year, grand champing out dogs, man. Tell us a little bit about where you, you know, when you started coming around, and you know what got you into American Bully. When you started coming, you know, when you got your first dog, and bring us through that a little bit. This is Know Your Handler today here on the Bully Block. You there, Kino?
He's probably still cracking up over there on mute.
All right. Well, shit, man, I want to let everybody know, man, it's going down February 28th in Peoria. It's a triple show. It's going to be going down. We got Senior Judge Rolando Mata. He's going to be one of the judges. We got Rachel Ogletree is going to be one of the judges. And we got the third judge yet to be announced. There's going to be free junior handlers at that event, sponsored by Julie Wills, Pure Country Kennels, as well as Killing Noise Kennels. We are also going to be featuring the third show. It's going to be free at that event as long as you pre-register. Pre-register with Regina. I put up an event page a couple of days ago. Man, we got a lot of response on there. Almost close to 200 people already responding on that event. So, man, big shout-out to everybody, man. People that have been around a little while, if you ever been to the old Peoria Thunder of the Bullies shows that they used to have, Boxhead Bullies, and Sloan's, I believe, used to throw those events, man. Big shouts out to them. But they haven't thrown it for a few years, so I'm going to pick that up. And we're doing it in the same venue. It's going to be going down every year from now on. So be sure you get a hold of me, man. I got some booth specials going on. I'm also looking for a couple sponsors for the event. The event is going to be sponsored by Bully Creations. The whole tour is being sponsored by Bully Creations. So she's making us some custom trophies and everything, especially for the tour, the ABKC Strong Tour, man. So big shouts out to her for sponsoring that. We appreciate it. Shay, do you got anything else for him tonight, Danny?
Not too much, man. Just want to encourage everybody to check out UnitedBullyBreeders.com. You know, see what we're about. Check out the About Us page, how it works. I'm also going to give away this week. We got about a few minutes left, but first two callers that press 1 will get a free membership. There's a lot of callers listening in right now. Don't be shy. Hit that 1 button. Let me know who you are. And then I'll send you some login details. You can check, become a free member of the United Bully Breeders Association. It's not a registry, but, you know, we're an association of trustworthy breeders, and we're about ethics, morals, and customer service. We have a couple minutes left. If you're interested in a free account, just hit that 1 button. Call in 619-639-4636. But looks like we lost Kino. Just want to thank him for calling in. And big shout out to the Black Label Cartel, man. Again, you know, thanks for calling in if you're listening, and we appreciate you, and we will definitely be seeing a lot of you at the ABKC Strong Tour 2015. Speaking of the ABKC Strong Tour, man, you know, there's sponsorship opportunities available. You can contact myself or Kev Green for more information. Lots of benefits involved. Some of the benefits are making the junior handlers competition free, providing them with the top-notch trophies as well, so make sure to get at one of us for more information and be a part of this huge tour. If you didn't attend any of the shows last year, just look at the history behind it. There was 11 shows, all successful, but this year is going to be a lot bigger. But with that being said, we do have some callers claiming their prize for UBBA. We got 559-772 on the Bully Block.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's up? Who's this?
This is Paul with California Bullies out in California, obviously.
What's up, Paul?
What's going on? I just really just wanted to call and just say what's going on, and I enjoy listening to you guys, and yeah, I just like to listen. So just wanted to say.
Well, we do appreciate you, man. You were one of the first to hit that one button. So you know, feel free to inbox me on Facebook with your email address. And I will set you up with a free UBBA account, man.
Okay, cool. Sweet. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you so much for calling in, man. I'm going to take the next call.
All right.
Hey, thanks for tuning in, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Next caller with the free account, 765-464. Who's this?
This is John Tankersley out of Indiana.
Hey, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, Tankersley?
Not much, man. Sitting here listening to y'all putting together some of this dog food I've been making.
Yeah, man. Tell us a little bit about what you got going on, man.
Well, I tell you, I've got the connection with a butcher shop about 2 blocks from my house, and I can get all the beef I want all day. You know, I can get the tripe, I can get all the organs. You know, I get a lot of the ground. We've got right now, we're going like, I'm trying to perfect, you know, the ingredients in several of them. My main one right now I'm running, trying to run 85% meat, 10% bone, you know, and the 5% bone marrow in it. I've got a couple of liver ones I'm going to have to pull, I guess. You know, there's too much liver in the product, I'm supposing. So, you know, I'm still trying to perfect it.
That's what's up, man. Big shout out to you, man, for doing that, man. Why don't you let everybody know how they can get a hold of you if they're looking for some raw diet?
They can call me 765-464-4757. 7 days a week. Give me a ring. Hit me up on Facebook. I'm on there every day. Don't talk a lot, but I'm on there every day. Yeah. I get the product 4 days a week fresh. I can have it within the mail to them, you know, shipped at their cost within 24 hours.
Okay, that's what's up, man. Anybody looking for that raw, man, where are you located in case they're local to you?
I am in Lafayette, Indiana, just close to Purdue.
All right, man, that's what's up, man. I'm looking into a venue in Valparaiso there, man. I'll keep you posted on if I book that.
Right on. We know the area a little bit. My wife was actually born up in that area.
Okay. All right, that's what's up, John, man. We appreciate you for calling in, man. How's everything going with the dogs?
Oh, going great, you know. Got them all in the house right now. The weather here in the Midwest real cold, so we're a little crowded in here, but, you know, everyone's safe and sound.
All right, that's what's up. But Danny, did you want to talk to him about a UBBA membership?
Yes, sir. You, in fact, were the second person to hit that one button. And, you know, feel free to inbox me on Facebook, and I'll set you up with a free account on UBBA, and you can see what we're all about.
Right on, man. Right on. Sounds good, guys.
All right, man. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for tuning in, John.
Yep.
All right. 619-639-4636. Press 1 if you want to get on the air, if you're trying to get a UBBA membership. We're going to be wrapping it up here within a few minutes. Dayton, you got anything else going on?
Nah, man, I just want to thanks everybody for calling in, and if anybody's looking for Labrador wiener dogs, holler at your boy. Illinois.com. No, on a serious note, though, man, we got some nice-ass puppies on the ground, nice show-quality dogs that will win you plenty of ribbons. Hit us up, KillerNoise.com, KillerNoise on Facebook.
That's what's up, man, that's what's up. And if you have not, man, make sure you have downloaded the iBully app to your phone. If you don't have it, make sure you download it today. Go to your app store on either your iPhone or your Android, search iBully 2 and hit download. There's going to be a little coin, a gold coin icon next to it. That's how you're going to know it's the right app. Download it today and get in tune with everything going on, and have the bully world right at your fingertips. And we got some new additions that's going to be coming to that. iBully Live TV is going to be coming really soon, where it's going to be something like this, but we're going to be able to be live on TV, and you know, you're going to be able to see us all as we're talking. People will be able to be on the screen as they call in and things like that. So stay tuned with that. And yeah, Danny, go ahead. I know you got a couple other things. Why don't you explain that iBully TV a little bit? You know a little bit more about it than me.
Yes, sir. iBully TV is a direct stream. You can see us live as we are either attending events or at somebody's yard, you know, interviewing them, or from the comfort of our own homes. You know, we're going to be doing interviews through Skype. You know, for example, how we had Kino on tonight, you know, we would call him on Skype. He would have his webcam on, and we would be on, and sort of pick his brain. Plus, you know, if we collaborate with this radio show, we could also have people call in, or, you know, I could open up chat, and people could ask questions through there as well. So it's a lot of exciting things coming up for 2015. Definitely, you know, ABKC Strong Tour will play a big part in the iBully TV Live. So make sure you check us out. You know, we'll be releasing more information as it develops, but we're looking to have our pilot episode as soon as next week. So definitely stay tuned to our pages and check us out. Also, you know, I just wanted to give a big shout out to all the supporters, you know, of iBully and the Bully Block Radio Show, especially to the recent caller tonight. Man, we love you guys. We love everybody listening in, and we do it for you guys, especially even the haters. So we got love for everybody.
For sure, for sure. That's what's up, man. Be looking for that ABKC Strong to come to your town. We got February 28th, it's going down in Peoria. March 21st, it's going down in Shelbyville, Kentucky. April 18th, it's going down in Detroit. May 9th, it's going down in St. Paul. July 25th is going down in Tallahassee. August 29th is going down in Bowling Green. September 5th is going down in St. Paul. September 19th is going down in Fort Wayne. And more are to be added, man. We're looking to get up in New York. We're looking to get in Virginia. We're looking to get back in Kansas. So stay tuned, man. We're going to be everywhere this year. And, shit, that's about it, man. Thanks, everybody, for calling in. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to the Bully Block. We appreciate you, man. We're going to be back here next Monday, same time. We're always here. Also, be on the lookout starting real soon right here on the Bully Block. Coming to Wednesday nights will be Presidential Radio with Prez Potter and Caesar from the Bully Tunnel right here on the Bully Block. So be tuning into that. That's going to be a weekly show every Wednesday. It's going to be starting at the beginning of February, so be on the lookout for that. And that's about it, man. We appreciate you guys. And we're going to catch you guys next week. Tune in to KillerNoise.com. Check out them new puppies. Download that iBully, man. Stay tuned with everything that's going on. And go to that Facebook.com/ABKC Strong and like that page and be out and stay in tune with everything going on with the tour, man. We're going to catch you guys next week. Thanks for tuning in. We love you.
It's the Bully Block. Check the pedigree. Shut it down. A better breed. It'll never be. Shut it down. We the top dogs. Recognize. Shut it down. A good diet and exercise. Shut it down. It's the Bully Block. Check the pedigree. Shut it down.
frightened and enlightened, y'all. Van a misbrand, but the bully ain't a fighting dog. The temperament is cooler than the fan, while the lap dog's high strung, pulling at your hand. With the breed, I'm a owner and a fan. For that backyard mid-ish, go holla at your man. Check the pedigree, we don't do the run around. This the bully breed, round here we shut them down. Check the bully block, check the pedigree, shut it down. A better breed, it'll never be shut down. We the top dogs, recognize, shut it down. A good diet and exercise, shut it down. Check the bully block, check the pedigree, shut it down. A better breed, it'll never be shut down. We the top dogs, recognize, shut it down. A good diet and exercise, shut it down. What I like about the breed is selection. You can mix and match blood till you find perfection. Do some research, hit a show, find connections. Figure what type you shoot you like, make investments. For his features, I just found a pup with a short muzzle, block head, solid as a truck. I hit the vet, pick the ear style, cut it down. Let him heal, hit the first show, shut it down. I got credit, it was nothing to debate on. Wait until I work him out and put his weight on. Them dogs out when the stars around. In a show where they customize cars and sounds. A four-legged monster, freaked out collar spikes, posing with a credible celeb or the model type. It's undeniable when you see them come around. The bully breed, round here they shut it down. Check the bully block, check the pedigree, shut it down. A better breed, it'll never be shut it down. We the top dogs, recognize, shut it down. A good diet and exercise, shut it down. Check the bully block, check the pedigree, shut it down. A better breed, it'll never be shut it down. We the top dogs, recognize, shut it down. A good diet and exercise, shut it down. Every town, every state is a certified bully, looking great, looking good in a